This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Do you want the good news first, or still more of those massive credit write-downs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Europe's biggest bank, HSBC, is reporting another big hit for bad debts on U.S. home loans, more than $3 billion. Somehow, the bank says its first quarter was more profitable than the same period a year ago. Nonetheless, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports the damage is still being felt.
HSBC has set aside another $3.2 billion to cover potential losses in the U.S. in the first quarter. Overall, the bank's profits are higher. Business in Asia remains buoyant, but HSBC must now deeply regret its purchase of Household International in the U.S. The subprime specialist has so far cost HSBC around $18 billion in bad loans, and those American losses seem certain to continue, says analyst Ewan Sterling.
There's no sign that the U.S. housing situation has stabilized. Prices are still falling quite rapidly. The housing transactions that are going through are continuing to dwindle.
But one of the biggest British casualties of the U.S. subprime mess could be the U.K. Treasury. It's just emerged that banking write-downs here in recent weeks have cut the amount of tax payable by $5 billion, a loss of revenue the government can ill afford. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street will be hoping to climb out of the hole it dug itself on Friday. Just to refresh your memory, the Dow took a 1% dive, dropping 120 points. The Nasdaq shaved off a 0.25%. The S&P 500 will be starting the new week from a 0.75% loss on Friday. Pennsylvania is taking bids to lease the Pennsylvania Turnpike to a private company. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning at least two groups, one from Spain, the other a combined Spanish-Australian venture, have submitted undisclosed cash offers for the 500-mile-long roadway. As Marketplace's Jill Barchet reports, it'll be the largest piece of U.S. public infrastructure that's ever been privatized.
Pennsylvania Turnpike Blue. Tell me which exit shall I choose? I'm just cruising, all confused.
Pennsylvania's hoping to raise $18 billion to build more roads and other infrastructure. In exchange, the winning bidder will get to collect tolls and fill potholes on the turnpike for 75 years. Dennis Enright of the NW Financial Group analyzes public-private deals like this one. He says the leading road operators are from Spain and Australia.
The primary reason is that they have the experience. In the United States, toll roads have typically been done by public entities like turnpike authorities. And in the rest of the world, they're typically done in the private sector.
It's a low-risk, profitable business, Enright says. Take the Chicago Skyway Toll Road, privatized in 2005. It generates a 12% return. But the public is paying for it with higher tolls. I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
We want to correct something we reported here on Friday. We told you about the steps that food companies are taking to reduce their costs, and we made a mistake about Campbell. The soup maker has reduced the number of suppliers it's buying from. Campbell's has not cut back on the vegetables in its soups.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, committed to writing about issues that matter and the connections between them. The Economist. See the world differently. At newsstands and economist.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Ah, the days of the brainless mega buyout are so 2007. So says Fortune magazine editor-at-large Alan Sloan, but even though it's true, the credit squeeze is making it considerably harder to borrow money, he's discovered that these days doing the deal just takes being creative. Well, in some cases, we're talking very creative. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Bob.
So, With all the problems we've been hearing about the credit squeeze for several months now, is the day of the mega buyout over?
The day of the mega buyout is suspended, but the firms who have a lot of things to do and a lot of money to invest in are now doing a business buying loans in their own buyouts at a discount from the bank that made the loan.
I'm confused. How does that work?
Okay, it goes like this. Let's say you had gotten a mortgage from Sloan Savings and Loan on your house. And I hate to say this, but you're a broadcaster. You are not the world's greatest credit. Nothing personal. So what happens is I have to take a loss on this loan, and I really don't want it on my books anymore. Someone comes and says, you know, Moon's worth 90 cents on the dollar. And I say, okay. And what I do is I then lend him money to buy the loan at 90 cents on the dollar. The buyout firms are buying at a discount the loans in the buyouts that they did, and the banks are lending them the money to do it.
Hold on here just a second. Doesn't this become so circular after a while that it just stacks problems on top of problems?
Well, it depends for whom. You know, if you're the buyout firm, we invented a term for it at Fortune. We call it double cropping. Since you're clearly a man of the fields, right? That's when you get, you know, two crops out of the same field in the same season. So first you do the buyout, and then buy the loan from the bank at a discount, borrowing heavily for most of the purchase price from the bank.
Conventional wisdom says that these leveraged buyouts help whip companies into shape and that sort of thing. But are they having any trouble now with some of these buyouts that they've already made?
Well, they're having trouble with some of these buyouts because some of them weren't done well and they borrowed too much money. And if you don't mind, I would like to dissent from the idea that, you know, piling debt on a company is necessarily a good thing. I mean, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But the only people it's a magical tonic for are the people who do the deals, because they get paid a ton of money if the deals work out well. They get paid pounds of money if the deals work out badly.
Okay. Alan Sloan is senior editor at large at Fortune Magazine. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Let us know your thoughts on anything you've heard this morning. Just visit marketplace.org and click on the link that says contact. And thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.